We call it a short talk, and I'll do my best tonight. I can't make promises. Always seems like it goes longer than what I think, so do the best I can this evening. Try to keep it in the right time frame. This evening, I'd like to do a lesson called Answering the Call. Answering the Call. As we know, we just celebrated Memorial Day. And as we know what Memorial Day is, it is a United States federal holiday, and it's observed there on the last day, or last Monday of May. It was formerly known as Decoration Day, and it commemorates U.S. soldiers who died while in military service. It was first enacted to honor the Union soldiers of the American Civil War, but then later on it was extended after World War I, to honor Americans who have died in all wars. What that day truly commemorates is the legacy of those who decided to answer the call. And we understand what that means, answering the call. There are many who have a strong desire to maybe to defend this country. They think of it as answering a call or a calling, maybe to protect America, why many people join the military, maybe not just America, but any nation. They think of it as a calling. And many people, if you remember, joined the military after 9/11. They said it was because they felt a call or a calling to do that. Well, there are more than just answering the call of the military. It's not only the military who are looked upon, again, as answering that call in today's society. There are those who are policemen and firefighters who feel like they answer a call or a calling to protect the people, and many do that. I know a few people who are policemen. I'm sure we all know firefighters, and they all feel like they needed to do something to protect the people, answering the call. And we usually salute people for when they do this. We like to think of that. That's a great calling, and we're happy to see people doing that. And again, as we see the little illustrations of policemen, firefighters, and even those who answer the call, as it is in that little poster of those who went to New York when 9/11 happened to help out in that situation. Let's ask this question. Are these people special who went and did all these things? Are they special? Policemen, firefighters, the military, those who answered the call in 9/11? Do we call them special? Well, we might think of them as doing something special, but in reality, no. They're no different than you or I, except they heard the call and they answered. Saw a strong desire. They heard it and decided to do something about it. Answering a calling does not take special people, but it does take commitment to see it through despite any trials. Well, throughout Bible history, or throughout the Bible, God has chosen individuals to do his work, to perform his task. He puts out a call, doesn't he? And this call goes to everyone. It isn't people with just special talents. It goes to all of us. We're to answer the call of God. And when he does this, puts out that call to all of us, as he does every day, to every person. He doesn't ask for resumes, does he? He doesn't ask how prepared we think we are, and he doesn't care about perceived obstacles that we might put in our way. You know, I think about at one time wanting to join the military. And then I thought to myself, you know, there's all that running and all that physical training, and if you just look at me, I'm not one into physical training. And I thought, well, that's really not my calling as I thought of it then. God doesn't care about my physical shape, does he? He wants to know about my spiritual shape. And he doesn't care about the things that I think are obstacles. There's ways to get around that. He just says, we need to get it done. The call goes out. It's up to us to get it done. The call's always there. And I think of Noah and Abraham, these two great men of the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 7 through 8, where it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, And he went out not knowing where he was going. And you think about Noah. Was he special? Was he some kind of special person in that age? Had more knowledge of certain things than anybody else? No. He heard the calling. And God called to him and said, I want you to build an ark. Well, was Noah a master shipbuilder? It doesn't say so in the Bible. In fact, God seemed to give him all the instructions what to do, what kind of wood to use, and everything. Noah obviously wasn't a special shipbuilder. But he answered the call. And he didn't ask why. He just went and did it. He got it done. He didn't say to God, have you seen my resume? Did you see shipbuilder on there? No, he did it. And you think about Abraham as he just left his country. Was Abraham some kind of a wilderness adventurer deciding to go out on his own? No, he just answered the call, did what needed to be done. Both of them answered the call despite having no special skills. And I think to myself, could I do as they did? Well, you know, God answers is calling me to do the same type of things, to do something that I really have no special skills at, but he requires me to do it. If God has called us, and he has, what provisions has God given to make up for all of our perceived deficiencies? Because every time you ask me to do something, I'm going to come up with excuses of why I cannot. If you tell me I need to go run a marathon, I'm going to give you every excuse in the world why I can't do that, because I don't want to. But God says, look, I want you to do this, and no matter what your deficiencies, I got help for you. There's help for you to do it. But I want you to answer that call, and we are to do that. Number one, I thought there's help from our brother. When God says, do this, there is help. And I think, number one, there's help from the brethren. There's support for each one of us. And I think of this. For Moses, it was someone to help him speak, wasn't it? In Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 16, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech, slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But again, Moses says, I'm still not comfortable with this. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whoever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. You know, we all need help from time to time. On big tasks, it takes help, and our brethren are there to help us. You know, Moses didn't do this on his own, did he? He had help from his brothers. Well, think of the Apostle Paul and his journeys. You know, Paul did not take them on by himself, but he paired up with the brethren to do all the work that needed to be done. And we know this. Brother Pike has spent many weeks going through the journeys of the Apostle Paul and the things he did. In Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 5, and then verse 13, we'll see this. It says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their assistant. Paul didn't go by himself, did it? Paul, Barnabas, and John was there with him also. Verse 13 says, now when Paul and his party, which makes me think there's probably more than just those three, went. They set sail from Paphos, and they came to Perga and Pamphylia. So, again, there's help from our brethren, isn't there? No matter what the task is, we have help. We have encouragement, no matter what we are called to do. God makes sure that whatever deficiencies we think we have, he's got them covered. Well, again, there's help from God, and he tells us this, that He will be with us. And we'll look at these quickly. It says he promises to be with us forever. In Matthew 28, verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Be there forever. He promises never to forsake us. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. He promises to stand, to strengthen, and also to deliver us from all things. 2 Timothy 4, verses 17 through 18. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And he promises to stand for us and to protect us. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 16 through 17. Says, so we answer, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The young man thought they were alone. In reality, they weren't alone at all. He promises to be with us forever. He will be. He'll never forsake us. He promises to help us, to strengthen us, and deliver us from all things. God will be with us no matter what we're asked to do. And sometimes if you feel alone and think you're by yourself, you need to remember this, that he answers our prayers. If we get the feeling we're alone, go to God in prayer and ask with faith, because he says this, now in the morning as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So if we're worried about something that God's called us to do, ask in faith. He'll give us the courage to go through it. And God gives good things to those who ask. That's another promise he tells us, and something we need to remember. Matthew 7:7-11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, after seeing what God does for us, is there any reason as to why we're hesitant to do God's will? Is there? We shouldn't. When the call comes, we should be doing it. And again, this lesson is for us who are Christians. I'm not talking about answering the gospel call here. I'm talking about those who have already answered that call. I'm talking about us who are members, who are of that body. We're told we have duties to do, and many times we don't do them. We're hesitant, or we're afraid to do them. There should be no reason why. God gives us all the help that we need. Will we answer the call when asked, maybe to participate in the service? This is something we need to do. The church needs to be continually growing. How does it grow? Well, we have to have the members growing. And many times we're not. We're not answering the call. How about in song leading? Brethren, if we're asked maybe to try to lead a song, shouldn't we try? And I know there are different people have different talents, but we could try. If there's nobody to lead the singing here tonight, if nobody, a song leader that normally leads is here, what would happen? Would one of the brethren step up? I would hope so. I've seen congregations who would just, no, we can't do the song service tonight because nobody here is willing to try. That's sad. Or how about leading in prayer? You know, many times people don't want to lead in prayer, and I know I'm probably the worst one leading in prayer. I feel like I just don't do it well at all, but I still try. Do the best that I can. Or how about teaching? And I'm not just talking about the brethren teaching, I'm talking about the sisters too in our daily life. Are we willing to teach? Are we answering the call? We're to go to all the world, preach the gospel. Now that's our calling too. Are we doing it or preaching? How hard is it to stand up here and quote God's word? Well, I used to think it was very hard, but I'm telling you, as you keep doing it, it gets easier and easier. And I used to think I couldn't do 10 minutes worth of talking, and I've already done almost 15 now. It's easy to do. And we have help to doing it. What about just being here? Answering the call to be here. You know, we need to be here. The congregation needs each and every one of us. That means being here. And I'm going to say this, being here on time would be helpful too, many times. There are duties to perform, and yet we don't get here in time. Sometimes I think that's very sad of us. Or how about just helping the sick? Sometimes we don't do that. You know, there are some people who are very good at this, and it seems like certain ladies are very good at it, and most men probably are not as good at it. But getting cards, Aletha always seems to send cards to us all the time. I remember that, even as a kid, getting cards from Sister Aletha and Nova and Frida and all of them. Answering the call, things that we can do. Well, in conclusion, you might be thinking this, well, I don't feel qualified. There are others who are just much more qualified. And I'll tell you, I say this about every time I get up here. There are, every one of you out there are more qualified to stand up here and speak than I am. And that's how I feel. But yet, we still have to do it. We have to try it, brethren. We'll never grow. What's going to happen to the congregation if we don't? You know, the ones who are elderly, I'll say elderly, here this evening. At one time, they were young, they were middle-aged, and now they're older ones in the congregation. I remember when I was Logan's age, sitting there. I guess I'm middle-aged now. Don't like to admit it, but I guess I am. We're all getting older. If we don't participate, the congregation will die. And there are examples of that around here, of congregations that are dying out because we're not answering the call like we should. You know, and this is a popular saying among those who just won't try. I just don't feel qualified to do it. Or how about this? You might be thinking, I might fail. Well, where would the world be if everyone quit after failing the first time? You know, Thomas Edison said he tried over 10,000 different filaments for the light bulb before he found out one that worked. Well, thank goodness he kept on trying, because I don't like the dark. I like this light. Or how about I might foul it up? Well, so what? No one is perfect the first time, are they? No one. If you try to do a lesson and you can't, and you don't do it well, so what? Do you think any of the brethren are going to laugh at you or make fun of you? No. We're here to help. Well, I think because of God's provision, we can say, Lord, send me. And the question is, are we ready to answer that call of God? Thank you.